Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great. Do you want to grab a seat? You want to turn to Genesis chapter 28. It's actually the chapter that we're looking at today. But just over the last couple of days, I believe God's been talking to me a bit out of this and what he wants to kind of bring this morning. One of the things we've been talking about over the last few weeks in different ways is about gates. Anybody remember that kind of stuff? We've talked about the prayer strategy God's been giving us about how to pray around the town. And in the first impact or the impact meeting this month on the 7th of June, okay, so not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, we're going to be doing some more prayer walking in and around the town in very specific ways in relation that God has been speaking to us about, going to different places where things have happened, where gates have been opened up for negative stuff in the town. And we want to go to those places and pray and shut those negative gates and then open up, you know, the heavenly gates, if we can put it that way, kingdom gates for God to work and transform lives. And so some of that, the prayer really is not prayer meetings are not for your or my benefit. Prayer meetings are selfless meetings to be at. Because prayer meetings are not about what am I going to get out of it. We go and pray for everybody that's not there, who's not in the building. We're praying for people to get saved. We're praying for stuff to change or whatever. So prayer meetings are selfless meetings, but actually they can be the most exciting places to be. When we're praying and releasing the purposes of God into situations, something happens on the inside of you. You begin to get a bigger picture of what you're part of, a bigger picture of what God's doing. You see, beyond your own life, you know, and begin to pray into things. When we pray, we're giving God space to speak. When we give him space to speak, he enables us to see things differently. We then begin to rise into what God is saying, into what he's showing us and what we begin to see. And therefore, it can even then change the way we speak, the way we think, the way we act and everything, because we give God a bit of space and he speaks into that moment, that time with him, and things begin to shift. And as a result, we even then begin to act differently because of what God is saying. All right, you're awake this morning. So it's going to be relevant for what we're looking at this morning. So we've been talking about gates. Pastor Colin brought a really, really great word 2 weeks ago. If you haven't heard it, listen to it on the website. He spoke about, from Proverbs we were reading that week, seven things that God hates. And he translated them into seven things that can impact our lives, or seven kind of gates that we can open in our lives. And we wanted to make sure those gates were shut in our lives and instead the opposite, you know, being released, the things of God being released. But it was a really, really profound word, and I want to encourage you. So God's been speaking about gates, about prayer, about who we are then as people. And so I want to link that into Genesis chapter 28. Now, maybe many of you have read this chapter many times, and you know the story maybe of Jacob's dream that he had in a certain place as it starts, and then what unfolds as a result. So we just want to look at a few things in here this morning. So Genesis 28, verse 10 onwards. Jacob left Beersheba, and he set out for Haran. So we're just kind of going to do this verse by verse. When you got saved, God set you out on a new journey. Your life changed at that moment. You began to live in a different way. Your choices changed. Your focus changed. Your desires changed. Your life changed in that moment. And in that, when you gave your life to Jesus, you set out on a new journey with a new destination. The destination wasn't anymore just to get a better job or more money or to be this or to do that or the other. Whatever it was, to find happiness, fulfillment, contentment, that new journey set out, God, I want to know you. And I want your purposes to be outworked in my life. And so in the same way, Jacob set out towards a destination. Now, God's got each one of us on a walk with him, okay? Then it says in verse 11, when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. on this walk with God, in our relationship with God, on this journey with God, the journey, God doesn't need to be a frenetic journey. On the journey, God wants us to stop and rest and give Him space to speak into our lives. So we set out on this journey with God. We give our lives to Him and we begin to walk with Him, to know Him. But we have to, in our lives, we need to stop. And it says here that the sun set, and so He stopped for the night because He needed to rest and sleep. So there's a daily pattern here, okay, that God wants in our lives. So daily, we want to make sure that in our lives, there's a moment where we stop. Everything else in life is parked for that moment. And we just have a moment, a time where it's just us on our own with God, and we're giving Him the space in our 24-hour day to speak into our lives, because it's relationship, isn't it? And in any relationship, it's a two-way conversation. Now, I totally appreciate we can be driving along in our cars and God can be speaking to us. We can have worship on. We can be walking down the road. We can be doing this, that, and the other, and all of that. And God, because God's in our lives 24/7, it's a relationship. It's a walk. It's, you know, but at the same time, God wants our total attention at certain moments where we're not distracted by anything else. We're not thinking about anything else. We're literally stopping and saying, Jesus, this is yours. I am yours. I want to give you space to speak. I want to hear what you're saying. I don't want to be concentrating on driving down the road, or I don't want to be concentrating on doing this, that, and the other, or whatever I'm doing. I don't just want to fit you in around what I'm doing. I want to stop so that you are totally central and I'm fitting in around you. Okay. And so this guy, Jacob, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Okay. So we need moments where we stop. Now, when we stop, what happens? Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and he lay down to go to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending. And there above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you your descendants. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Pretty good dream, eh? I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So he stops. He's just going somewhere. He's not looking for an encounter. He's not looking for anything. He just stops and God meets with him. God speaks to him. Okay? So this is a pretty profound moment in his life. But when we stop, what we're doing is we're saying, Father, I just want to spend time with you and I want to give you the space to say whatever you want to say. In this moment, obviously, he had a pretty powerful dream, a vision of heaven and what was going on in terms of the angels. And then God speaks to him and reiterates promises to him that are generational promises in that setting. But it was in that setting that he heard something from God, okay? So firstly, there are promises that God has given you. How many of you got promises from God? Maybe God's given you promises about a family member that doesn't know Jesus yet, and you've been praying for him, believing for him to come to know him. So there's a promise that you've had for a family member, a husband or your wife, one of your kids or one of your parents or friends or neighbors, whoever it are. God's given you promises. Maybe there's other things God has promised you, spoken to you about. You haven't seen that fulfilled yet, okay? There are promises that God wants to bring to life if the life has kind of gradually gone from those things. How many of you, you don't have to put your hands up, but how many of you, you know, you were running with a promise, running with something, really excited, full of faith, but gradually over a period of time, you might not have seen it fulfilled, and therefore you feel like that promise has disappeared? Or did I really hear God in that moment? Well, God wants to deal with any disappointment, any disillusionment this morning, and just lift it off any of the promises that God has placed on our lives. God wants to, if you like, inject fresh life and faith into those promises today about friends and family coming to know Him. Maybe that you've had a cycle of sickness in your life, something that just hasn't shifted yet, and God's given you a word, and you're a bit discouraged because you haven't seen the fulfillment of it yet. Well, we want to lift off all of that disappointment and frustration so that you begin to receive, yes, the promise in a fresh way, but the fulfillment of that promise in a new way, right? Anybody here today? Okay, so let's stand to our feet, okay, before we go any further. Just close your eyes for a moment. And firstly, I just want you to thank God for the promises that He's given you, okay? Just thank Him out loud. Just thank Him out loud. Father, thank You for the promises that You've given me, the promises over my own life, the promises over my marriage, if you're married, the promises for my family members to come to know, whatever they are. Thank You for the promise You give me. You spoke to me about being healed or whatever it might be, whatever promises He's given. God might have given you vision for your life and you haven't seen it fulfilled yet. Those promises, say, just grab hold of them afresh right now. No matter how much you've seen or not seen, however discouraged you might have been, just throw off this morning that discouragement. Throw off any disillusionment. Throw off anything that would want to hold you back this morning. Say, I'm not going to live under any of that stuff. But this morning, I choose to take hold of the promises that God has given me for my life, for my family, for my friends, for whoever it is in this situation. I take hold of those promises in a fresh way. And I, Father, I thank You this morning for the fulfillment of every promise that You have given, that You never send out Your word without accomplishing everything that it was sent to do. So, Father, I thank You for the accomplishing, the fulfillment of every promise, every word, everything You've spoken. I am not going to live under any frustration or disillusionment. Now, I believe there's many of us that have family members that are not yet saved. They don't know Jesus yet. And you've had promises, you've had scriptures, God has spoken to you. And some of you are a bit disappointed, some of you are a bit, I haven't seen that happen yet. They seem to be just as far away as they ever have been, okay? And the enemy's like, you didn't hear God, it's not going to happen, prayer doesn't work, see, la, 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 la. And he's constantly wanting to just undermine your faith, pull the rug from under your feet. Well, we're going to pull the rug from under the enemy's feet this morning, right? So if you've had a promise for a family member to come to know Jesus, you've been praying for them, speaking life over them and all of that kind of stuff. Okay, we're going to reverse the enemy's tactics. We're going to ambush him this morning and we're going to begin to see some new victories in our families coming to know Jesus. Okay, so firstly, just lift all those people, whoever you've been praying for. Lift them to the Lord right now. Could be a husband or your wife, one of your kids, could be one of your parents, cousins, uncles, aunties, whoever they may be, great grandparents, great grandchildren, I don't know, whoever. Just lift them, name them before the Lord right now. Hold them up as if they're right before His throne now. Father, I lift, name all the people, give them, just tell the Lord all their names. Father, I lift up so-and-so, so-and-so. I lift them up before You right now. Father, I thank You for the promises that You've given me, the scriptures You've given me, the words You've spoken. Father, I thank You right now. I want You to be really adamant with this. Father, I thank You that everything I've spoken is being released into their lives. Everything I've declared is going to bear fruit in their lives. Every scripture I've declared is going to bear fruit in their lives. Every promise I'm going to see the fulfillment of them coming to know Jesus. And so, just take authority right now. I take authority over every lie, every disappointment, every disillusionment. I tear that down right now. I'm not going to live under that or be thrown off by that. But instead, I choose afresh to believe what You've said to me, Father. And I choose to speak of them as saved. I speak of them as coming to know You. So, Father, I thank You for the release in their lives. I thank You for something new and fresh happening, even in these next few days and weeks. Father, we thank You for an openness in our family members to hear about You, to respond to You. We just come against all the reasoning and all the kind of excuses and all that kind of stuff that people put up. Father, I thank You for the pulling down of all of those things. And I thank You for the release of revelation, of faith into their lives and their hearts, that they would see who You are. Revelation would kind of hit their hearts. And they would, that instead of saying, well, I don't agree with this, I don't like that. Instead, Father, because of the seeds of Your word, that have gone into their hearts, that their language will change to say, hey, can you tell me more? Hey, how do I know Jesus? What's that really going to mean for my life? What do I need to do next? So, Father, I thank you that we step over that line today as we reach out to our families. We step over that line into their lives, responding to you, into them coming to know you. So, Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just thank the Lord, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, grab a seat. Then what happens? It says in verse 16, or it then says, I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised. So hang on to that word, okay? Important. The promises of God, they will always accomplish what God has spoken. God has to fulfill his word. Otherwise, he's a liar. And God is not a liar, is he? So we know that. Then in verse 16, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. I was not aware of it. He was afraid and then said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. It's interesting at the beginning of the chat, what we were starting to read, when he reached a certain place, for him it was just another place, a certain place. It doesn't say whether it was originally called Luz, okay? But then he said, because he met with God there, the place suddenly becomes an awesome place because God was there. God revealed himself. And then he called the place Bethel or Bethel, which means house of God or where God is present. Now, the great thing for us, we don't have to go to a building, do we, to worship Jesus? Because we have now become the building. The Bible says that we are temples of his presence, of his life, of the Holy Spirit. We are carriers of his life. He comes to live in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so at this moment, he has revelation. So the first thing he has is God reminds him of promises to his family and to his generations. Promises. You're going to be as numerous as the stars. I'm going to give you this land. It's going to go right through all your offspring. So the promises of God. But also, as well as promises, in that place, he had revelation. Now, when you have revelation, your thinking changes. When you have revelation, you see things differently. When you have revelation, you understand things. You perceive things in a different way. When you have revelation, it then leads you to act and behave in a different way. Because we live our lives in relation to the revelation or the understanding that we have. And in that moment where he stopped, God not only reminded him of promises, because that's one of the things that God does. You know, when you spend time with him, he'll always encourage you in the word. He'll always remind you who he is and who we are. And he always wants to, because why? Because he's a good father. What does a good father do? He encourages, he builds, he strengthens. He reminds that your children, you know, always encourages, okay? And wants to build into his children's life. This is what God as father does in our lives. But in that place of encouragement, he also wants to reveal himself. He wants to show us stuff so that our perspective enlarges, our understanding changes. We see him, we see ourselves, we see others, we see life differently as a result. We're bombarded, aren't we, daily out there with the stuff of life that wants to shut us down spiritually. And what God does constantly is to speak into our lives so that we're alive spiritually and we're enlarging spiritually, we're growing spiritually in that way. And so God wants to reveal. He wants us to live with revelation. What is that? When we have revelation of God, what's one of the things that happens? The fear of God or an awe of God grows in our lives. When there's the fear of God or the awe of God, you become more aware of what you're thinking. I don't want my mind to be a playground for the enemy. Because God's revealing who he is, I want to guard my mind. I want to guard my thoughts. I want to make sure what's going on up there honors him because he's revealing who he is and there's an awe or a reverence of him. So I want my thinking to be right and in line. So God reminds us of promises of who he is and what he wants to do because that helps us to think right. When he gives us revelation of who he is, helps us to think right. So how you think is how you live. How you think will be how you speak. How you think is how you'll make decisions. How you think and your thinking affects your feelings. Your feelings affects your thinking. So when our thinking is in line with him because he's revealing, giving us stuff that reveals who he is, reveals what his promises are and what his word says, that changes the way we are, changes the way we act. And then in verse 17, it says he realizes this is an awesome place. So your life is an awesome place. Now, you might need some fresh revelation with that. I don't know. Because if we realized how awesome this place is, that the living God, the eternal one, the creator of heaven and earth lives on the inside of us, that we wouldn't sit here going, tell me something I haven't heard before. Maybe we need a fresh revelation of how awesome God is, how awesome this place is. You are sitting right there in these chairs, in this room, in this building, in the middle of Sussex. How awesome is this place? What is this place then? It is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. Why does God give you promises? Because he wants to release what is in heaven on earth in your life and through your life. Why? Because we're gates. We're entrance points for who he is. So God was trying to show Jacob, hey, you're an entrance point for heaven on earth. That's who we are. We're gates. We're releasers of life, right? Releasers of his purposes, of his promises. Not just, well, yes, to ourselves, but also to our families, to friends, to neighbors, where we live in our lives, okay? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Pastor Colin brought a word on Tuesday morning at the 8 o'clock during the week. And it was a great word. But one of the things he said was, when we give our lives to God, we become a vessel for noble purposes. And God refines our lives constantly in the fire of the Holy Spirit so that we live more fully in who we are as a believer, right? But he says through that fire, it's like we become... you know, if you put gold in a furnace, the rubbish comes to the top, yeah, and they skim it off. And the more it goes through the fire, the more pure the gold becomes and the more expensive it becomes. And that's how God works in our lives. Not because he's focused on that, just because of who he is. And therefore, if we're walking with him, you know, we constantly want to get rid of that so we can live more fully in him. And what he described was it's like we're like a golden cup in God's hands. And with this vessel that he wants to not just fill, but he wants to fill to overflowing. And he said something amazing that impacted me. And he said, God wants to drink of your cup. I was like, wow. God does all the refining work. So it's him that does all the work, but then he wants to drink of you and me. You know, when we worship him, you know, often, you know, we say, don't we, we're joining in with what is going on in heaven. We're not just singing songs with words on a screen, but actually we're joining in with the host of heaven, the 24 elders, the living creatures it talks about in Revelation. They're around the throne day and night, worshiping, bowing down. So when we come to worship together or any place we're worshiping, that's what we're doing. We're joining in with heaven, which is amazing, isn't it? And, but he said, as we're worshiping God, it's like not only are we worshiping him, but what he wants, that he comes and drinks of who we are in him. It was like, wow. And when he said that, I was sitting there and I just closed my eyes and I was like, Father, that makes me just want to worship you more. Because on one level, I'm not worthy to worship who you are, but yet you've made me worthy. Because it's not based on who I am in the natural, it's based on who you are and what you've done in my life that enables me to come boldly before you, to worship you, to live in that way. But when he said that, and he said, God wants to drink of your cup, of what he's doing in your life, I was like, it just made me want to be like, Father, I just want to honor you, worship you in everything. Because if you're going to drink of what you're going to drink of, of the worship that I'm giving you, you're drinking of this cup of my life that is in your hands. Oh, for that, I was like, Father, I just want to honor you in everything then. I want everything. I don't know what to say really, but just in that moment, it was like, Father, I want to live clean. I want to live holy. I want to live pure. I want to live right. If you're going to drink of this cup, you don't want to drink of anything that is not, you know? Yeah, he's drinking of his own life in us. And as we respond to him, as well as we, if we can put it this way, as we're worshiping, we're drinking of him. He's also drinking of us. We draw near to him. He draws near to us in that way. So I don't know. I'll just chuck that in as we go along. But you're a gate. You're an awesome place for the presence and the purposes of God. Then we need to finish, okay? But then it says, early the next morning, verse 18, Jacob took the stone he'd placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. So he anointed that place, okay? And he called that place Bethel, which means house of God. So God anoints us with his Holy Spirit to be a house or a place where God resides and remains, okay? To be a carrier of his life and his power. Then, verse 20, Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. Okay. It was like he needed to have a personal encounter with God to know God for himself, that he didn't know God just because of his father, Isaac, or his grandfather, Abraham, or he wasn't just carrying promises because they were generational ones being passed down. God wanted to meet with him personally so that he heard something personally. He was living with something personally. He was carrying something personally. So why is it important that in our 24-hour cycle, we stop in the busyness of everything and we create space for God to speak? Because God wants to speak into each one of our lives personally. He wants us to be carrying promises. He wants us to be living in revelation. And what did that cause him to do? He was reminded of promises. He had revelation of who God was. The next thing he did, he surrendered himself afresh. And we see that by saying, you know, if you do this, that, and the other, then I'll know that you're my God. What was he doing? He was like, there was a surrender in his life afresh to who God was. And when God speaks and we have revelation, what do? We're surrendering, we're submitting ourselves to live under that word and under that revelation or in that revelation or in the effect of that word. So there's promises, there's revelation, then there's surrender. When we surrender, we live more fully in what God is saying and doing. But what does that then lead to? It then leads to release. Okay, so when we surrender ourselves afresh to God, it then enables fresh release. What then happens as we read the next verse in verse 22? This stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So he had a revelation himself in that moment that turned him into a giver in a way that he wasn't before. So when we surrender afresh, we surrender everything. Okay, it's talking about, I'll give you a tenth of whatever that might be, everything. But there's a place of release when we surrender, a place where we begin to give in a way that we weren't giving. So if somebody stands up and says, you should do this, if you do it just out of because you should do, it becomes a burden because you live under something that I'm supposed to do. But when God speaks, you have revelation and you surrender yourself afresh to him. Something gets released in your life. And because it's revelation, because it's become personal and something's happened in you, you then begin to see the outwork and you begin to see a release or a giving. I'm not just talking about money here, but just giving in terms of how you give your life, how you serve, how you do that. Because it's come out of a place of revelation, not out of a place of should, could, or supposed to. And so that's why personally we want to be living daily in a place where, okay, I'm stopping, listening, receiving, getting revelation, believing, surrendering, whatever, and then see a release of. It's like a spiritual principle, spiritual cycle, kingdom cycle in our lives. God speaks, we have revelation, we surrender afresh because that's what it kind of leads to, and then we see a release of it in our lives. So when he says here, this is the house of God, this is a gate of heaven, how does that gate stay open in our lives? How do we keep the gate of our lives open to God? We listen, we hear what he's saying, we have revelation, we surrender, then we see a release. How do we see that gate stay open for our friends and family members? Exactly the same. We're hearing God, we have revelation, we surrender to what God says, we see a release. How as a church do we stay as a gate? Because as a church, we are a gate. We're a gate for Horsham, a gate for Worthing, a gate for Crawley, a gate for Burgess Hill. We're a gate for Brighton. We're a gate for wherever we go. We're a gate for the 25-mile radius. So how do we stay as a gate? We want to be a people who believe the promises of God. We know how much we believe by how we pray. How you pray will show you how what you believe. So if you want to know where's my faith at, listen to how you're praying, and that will show you what you believe. The word you say, you know. Because when you believe, you stop asking. When you believe, you declare, you speak. You, because you're not saying, God, would you do this? God, would you do that? Because God speaks, we hear, and we know that's what God wants to do. And instead, your prayer turns from, Father, would you do this? To, Father, I thank you for your promises. So I speak that into my life, or I speak that over the situations, or I declare that over this town, or whatever we're praying into. Okay? And so we want to stay open. We want to be a gate that is fully open as a church, if we use that terminology. So we want to be a people who believe the promises of God. We want to be a people who live in revelation. How do we do that? When you worship, God wants to reveal himself. When you hear what he's saying, he wants to reveal himself. Then we want to be a people who stay in a place of surrender to him. We want to walk with you in that way. Changes the way you think. Changes the way you act. Changes how you spend your money, how you spend your time, all of that. When you live in that way, and then we want to be a people of release, that we're not actually here for ourselves. We're here for everybody that is not here. Now, we get built up, we get encouraged, we get strengthened, but there's a tipping point where you begin to see a believer begin to mature in their walk with God when their Christian life shifts from being more geared around them, themselves, and becomes more geared around other people. That's a maturing moment, right? That is, if I can put it this way, that's when you move from being a follower of Jesus to a disciple of Jesus. When you're a follower of Jesus, okay, you're following him and he's inputting into your life and you're following and receiving. When you begin to realize actually the Christian life is not all about me, it's actually about what God wants not just to do in me, but what he wants to do through me. And you move from being a follower to a disciple, because biblically a disciple is somebody who is making disciples. A disciple is not just somebody who's growing spiritually in God. When we're following Jesus, we can grow spiritually, but there's got to be a moment where we move from being a follower to a disciple, where we realize this is not just about me, this is about everybody else. Okay? One of those, you can see, one of those measurements, if you like, is about serving. Do I serve? Do I want to serve? Do I make myself available? That is a maturing moment. I don't want to be here just for what, for me. I actually want to come and serve. I want to give. That could be on a Sunday. It could be wanting to lead a small group. Could be volunteering for things, whatever it might be. But it's that shifting moment where you realize I don't just want to follow and receive. I now want to become a giver. And you shift into being more of a disciple. And because you begin to give, you begin to affect other people's lives before you think about your own life. And as you begin to serve and give and affect others, you actually find you're receiving more because you stepped into a biblical, a kingdom principle of what you sow is what you reap. And you can never outgive God when you give, no matter what that giving looks like. Because there's a principle that will just come back. When you love, you will be loved. When you encourage, you'll be encouraged. When you strengthen, you'll be strengthened. God will make sure that whatever you give, whatever you sow, will come back multiplied over into your life. You'll hear this morning. So let's stand and pray, shall we? And we've already prayed about the promises of God in terms of what he's already spoken into our lives. But let's just thank God for a moment. Just close your eyes where you are. Just thank God for the spirit of revelation that is at work in your life. You have the Holy Spirit in you if you know Jesus and you've surrendered your life to him. Just thank him for the spirit of revelation. Revelation comes as you read the Bible, you read the word. Why do we have daily readings? Because we want to stop. We want to give space for God to speak and bring revelation of who he is, what he's saying into our lives. We want to stop, park everything else so there's revelation. Revelation isn't just the Holy Spirit speaking while you're walking on the road. Oh, I had an amazing thought. You know, we want to start with the word. Start with the word. As you're reading the word, God begins to reveal. He knows what he needs to say into each one of our lives in such a relevant way for that day, for that situation, for that moment. But then there's that point of surrender. Maybe this morning, just surrender yourself afresh to the Lord. Father, I want to surrender my mind, my thoughts, my heart, my emotion, my body, my will, my spirit, everything. I want to surrender afresh to you. I want to live in the promises of God. I want to live in revelation, but I want to live surrendered. But also see a release of your life in me and through me in a fresh way, in a more powerful way, more effective way. So I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in my life. Father, I want to be a gate in my own personal life, a gate that is wide open. There is a place where heaven ascends and descends, if we can use that story of Jacob. I want my family to be like a gate where your presence in our home, in our family is tangible, that you're amongst us, you're with us. I know that you are with us in my family, Father, but I just your tangible presence, because we are spending time cultivating the life of who you are amongst us as a family or in our household, whatever setting you're in. Father, I in the church, I want to be part of this gate that is wide open for what you're saying. So it's not just about me and what I receive, but it's actually about others that can receive. It's about those that are not yet saved, those that don't yet know you. Father, I want to be a gate that is wide open as part of this body, that as a church, we're a gate for this town, for this region, even this nation, Father, in whatever ways you want to use us and work through us as Kingdom Faith. Father, we want to be a gate that's wide open. We believe the promises that you've given. We live as a people of revelation in the power of your truth. That we live as a people surrendered to you and your purposes, and that we are a people that see a release of your life and power through our lives, Father, as a people. So, Father, I thank you. I praise your name. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray over these next 6 or 7 weeks while Jane and I are away. Father, I thank you. You're going to do something new and fresh in the life of the church here. Father, I thank you to do something new and fresh in our lives while we are away. But Father, I thank you for what you are doing amongst us, just the belonging, the sense of relationship and the depth of what you're doing amongst us. But Father, I think for many of us in our hearts as well, we want to see more people come to know you. And Father, over these next 6 weeks, next Sunday is there's going to be baptisms next Sunday, and Colin Squires is going to be speaking, and it'll be great Sunday to invite people that don't know Jesus yet, people getting baptized. And then the Sundays through June into early July, they're going to be geared around Win the One, okay? And the different people that are speaking are speaking because they've got things happening in their lives. They're reaching out to people that don't know Jesus, and they're living something in the congregation here. And so different people are going to be speaking. So they're going to be great Sundays to invite people to come who don't know Jesus. Okay, Father's Day, 3 Sundays time. Simon's going to be speaking that Sunday. He's already got a great message for that Sunday, and it's going to be another opportunity to bring people, bring dads, fathers that don't know Jesus. And so the time while we're away is going to be focused on kind of Win the One on those Sundays. Okay, and it'll be encouraging for us, God's heart for people, but also it'll be an opportunity for people to respond to the gospel on those Sundays. Is that all right? So they're going to be good Sundays to invite friends and family to over the next few weeks, which is going to be exciting. So I'm looking forward to hearing every week what's going on and what's happening. So let's just pray to close, shall we? Father, we thank you for who you are and what you're doing. Father, we just pray over these next 6 weeks. It'll be a fruitful time for all of us as a church family in our lives in different ways. Father, just pray over the different things that Jane and I are doing, the different people we're going to meet, different places we're going. And you just seem to be orchestrating so many different connections at the moment with different people in different ways. And so, Father, I thank you for your lordship over all of that. The kingdom relationships that you want to grow and develop with us as Kingdom Faith and other churches and other individuals in different situations that represent different things that you're doing at this moment to fulfill your bigger picture and plans and purposes. Father, we feel pretty small in some of these situations that you seem to be dropping us into. But Father, we just thank you that you would orchestrate all the things that you as to why we feel it's right to be away for that period of time and the places that we're going to. So, Father, we just thank you for your grace and your hand upon all of those things. We thank you for your protection and safety and all the traveling and everything that's going to be going on. And that anything you want to speak, that we're just open to hear from you, Father. And it could be left field or not the way we think or tick or whatever, but I think you're going to use others to speak into our lives as well. But we're just open like a gate. We want to be a gate like Jacob there to hear whatever you want to say, Father, and to work out whatever you want to do in and through who we are as a people together. So, Father, we thank you and we give you glory. Father, I thank you for families that we've been praying for, family members that are going to come to know you in the next few weeks even, that where there's been resistance, people are going to come right through to know you in these coming weeks. So, Father, we thank you for a fresh harvest of people coming into your kingdom. We praise your name. Come on, let's thank God, shall we, and praise him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.